I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Let it rock.
Oh, you gotta love it. Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. I am Reese Waters. A lot to talk about today. Thanks for the update, Pete. That was a lot. I first of all want to send thoughts and prayers out to Klay Thompson and his family. Hopefully he has a speedy recovery. That is devastating news. Just for basketball fans in general, wanting to see the reconstituted Warriors finally, you know, after taking that year, essentially a year sabbatical, now turns into maybe a 2-year sabbatical, get to face off against this retooled Lakers team, seeing what the Clippers come out with, Dallas a year older, Denver a year older, not to mention the moves that the Milwaukee Bucks have made, and of course Philly, adding Doc Rivers, changes in the front office. I really wanted to see that, and I'm kind of bummed out that I won't see that. He did mention it's the anniversary of the Malice in the Palace. Where were you when you saw the Malice and the Palace? When you saw that highlight, where were you? I can tell you, I was in a bar down in the Village in New York City, and you know, bars down there, just, you know, it was a dive. They keep sports on, and hopefully you don't look at the floor. And you know that your shoes are now black, just whatever color they were when you walked in, they're black when you leave. Now you have black shoes. Congratulations. But I was in a bar down in the Village, and I remember I was talking to a buddy of mine. He had just gotten out of a breakup. It had just happened that evening, and he was telling me the story, and I was the rudest, most disrespectful friend in the world because I was way more interested in what was going on that TV. Thank goodness for the Mouse in the Palace for getting me out of that conversation, because he hasn't mentioned that significant other since. That was just going to be another night wasted, so thank you, Mouse in the Palace. The interesting thing about that, I always hated that Detroit Pistons team. I hated that Detroit Pistons team. I really did, which is weird because I really like Rasheed Wallace before and since. And I like Chauncey Billups' game as well. And Ben Wallace was a former Wizard, so you would think I would like that team. I always hated that team. So I was rooting for the Pacers to try and knock them off. And the Pacers looked like they were on pace to knock them off. They were in first place, I think, when that game was played. They had gotten up to play the defending champions. And then, you know, naturally they completely fell apart. That changed the trajectory of that whole NBA season. The only other time I remember that happening is probably in 2016, one of the biggest travesties I've ever experienced in sports with the suspension of Draymond Green, because there was no way the Cleveland Cavaliers were going to win that championship. They weren't even going to win another game if they don't suspend Draymond Green. So that completely changed the trajectory of the NBA Finals. I only say one of the biggest travesties, because I still think the biggest travesty is that, was it 2001 or 2002? The Ohio State Miami National Championship game. That's the biggest travesty I've ever seen in my life. But that was bad. Malice in the Palace was bad. I mean, that ended up being very fortuitous for the Detroit Pistons. How do you feel about Denny Avdija? Do you even know how to feel about Denny Avdija? It was amazing seeing when he was drafted, because of the delay. You just saw a table of family sitting at a wine bar just with their mouths agape, which is the entire city of D.C. when they said the name Denny Avdija. Like, we were all sitting there. We didn't have nice wine behind us. We had maybe some Deuce Deuces or something, maybe some Mad Dog 22. But the reaction was the exact same. I put it out on Twitter. Are you happy the Wizards drafted Denny Avdija? The yeses are winning at 39.7%. Who is at 33.3%? And I only recognize bullets, naturally, is at 26.9%. Still a lot of time left on that poll. I'll retweet that at the break. So it looks like most of you are happy about it. I went into work today. My boy Jake, who I talked to about all things NBA, was fired up because he wanted Obi Toppin. And I guess I can understand that because Obi Toppin is somebody who we watch play in HD. To know who Denny Avdija is, you have to have been scouring the web for standard definition Israeli footage. Like, nobody was doing that. So, like, I can't be mad about it because I don't know for a fact that he's not going to be good. And I don't know for a fact that Obi Toppin or Tyrese Halliburton or any of these other people are actually going to be good. So we're drafting at 9, you know, we'll wait and we'll see. I know everybody, you know, I can be mad, oh, Tyrese Halliburton fell. They could have taken him at 9. I didn't know who that was 2 weeks ago. Let's be honest. And the draft in general, and this is not specific to the NBA draft. In fact, I think the NBA draft nicks are more accurate than the NFL draft nicks are, but that's such a huge business. I don't understand. How, now, granted, I work in sports. I love that it's big business. It's worked out quite well for me. I just don't understand how you can look at last year, the year before, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. It doesn't matter. You look at any year and you see just how wrong people are in their projections of players. And yet when that year's draft comes around, we watch it nonstop like they know what they're talking about. It's amazing. The only people who can be more wrong are weathermen. Weathermen and draft. That is an unbelievable racket. I'll tell you that. You can just say whatever you want, be as wrong as the day is long, and people will tune in the next day wondering what it is you got to say. It's incredible. It's incredible. And it's for that reason, I can't be too mad at the draft. Like, I didn't know who he was. We'll see. I mean, you know, people didn't know who Dirk Nowitzki was. People knew who Luka Doncic was. So people knew who he was, but nobody knew who Dirk was. Nobody knew who Jan Vesely was. Nobody knew Jan Vesely till he came to D.C. and made it hot. Yes, I know we've been burned before. I know we've been hurt before. But let's not start pigeonholing folks and stereotyping folks. Let's not do that. Okay? I, for one, am willing to give Denny Avdija a chance, especially since I was introduced to him surrounded by alcohol. Now, I will say this, speaking of stereotypes, I will say this. If this was a brother in a liquor store, the reaction would have been way different. I'm just saying. It's perfectly fine for Denny Avdija to be in a winery, but God forbid Anthony Edwards is at Roscoe's surrounded by Cisco. That wouldn't have been okay. I'm just going to leave that there. I'm just going to leave that right there. I do want to give a shout out to Jalen Smith, drafted number 10 by the Phoenix Suns. Congratulations to him. And how dare you? How dare you, Baltimore, try and take credit? Yeah, I know he came from Baltimore. That's all right. I'm a Maryland product. It's just Maryland, okay? It's just Maryland. If it's our side of Maryland, we're going to call it D.C. If it's their side of Maryland, we're just going to call it Maryland. That's how it works, Baltimore. I'm sorry. That's just how things work. Shout out to him. We need more jocks with glasses. I mean, I am proud of him not only as a Maryland native, but as a University of Maryland fan, but also as a child who played with rec specs. You have no idea the pain that we went through having to play with goggles on. I mean, people called me AC Green. I couldn't even be James Worthy. I had to be AC Green. And I wasn't even good as AC Green, so I really shouldn't even be mad. But still, Nobody wanted to be AC Green. People pretending to be Magic, pretending to be Bird, Dr. J, Isaiah Thomas, Michael Jordan. Oh, here come AC Green. That was my childhood. I still hear that sometimes when I go to sleep. I wake up, I look at my wife. She's like, what's wrong? Did you just call me AC Green? You just called me AC Green, didn't you? It's rough. It's a very hard thing to shake. Brock just hit me with Kurt Rambis. I couldn't be Kurt Rambis because we are singularly. You couldn't call me a white dude. We weren't there yet. We weren't that progressive yet, Brock. I'd say in 2020, I could be Kurt Rambis. In 92, I had to be AC Green. That's just the way that works. But so shout out to Jalen Smith and a whole family for the glasses wearers. You love to see it. It is so good to see a fellow nerd break out the locker and get drafted. It is really, really incredible stuff. All right. I'm going to bring in the expert, Chase Hughes, because he's the guy that I wait and see how he feels about it. That's how it was. I was like, look, I'm not going to be mad about Denny Avdija unless Chase Hughes is mad about Denny Avdija. If Chase Hughes would have went off on Twitter yesterday, I'd have came on here fire and brimstone. How dare you? But he didn't. So I'm not. I take my cue from the man. Chase Hughes, NBC Sports Washington, coming at you after the break. You guys know the number, 800-636-1067, Reese Waters, 106.7 The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. I am Reese Waters. You know, shame on y'all on social media. Shame on you who posted the video of Van Jones crying after the election about not being able to see Bron and AD versus Steph and Clay. Just childish. Just childish. You know that man wasn't crying about no basketball. I will now like to welcome the one man who I believe might actually cry over basketball because he cares that much. That is my good friend Chase Hughes. Chase, I can honestly say the second that Denny Avdija was drafted, I immediately searched your Twitter feed to figure out how to feel. How should I feel?
I think that Wizards fans should be patient, because as much as everyone has hyped this guy up as one of the top 4 or 5 prospects in the draft, that was according to the mock draft, right? Clearly, he was not seen as one of the 4 or 5 best prospects out there by the teams that were actually making the picks. He was taken 9th, and he comes to the Wizards at the age of 19, having come from the EuroLeague, which is the second best league in the world, and he did not play all that well in the EuroLeague. He shot 27% from 3. He averaged 4 points a game. He shot 55% from the free throw line. So I think this is going to be a project, someone who's going to take some time, who has a high ceiling and adds upside to the roster, but is not going to likely translate to the NBA very quickly. And the EuroLeague is not only the second best league in the NBA or in the world, but it's gotten so good that it's a pretty good indicator of who's going to have success early at the next level. Luka Doncic, for instance, won the MVP of the EuroLeague and led his team to a title right before becoming the NBA Rookie of the Year. Avdija did not play like Luka Doncic did in the EuroLeague. So I think you're going to have to take some time and wait it out. And also understand that, you know, Scott Brooks has not shown a tendency to rely on rookies, and the expectations are going to be higher. He's in the final year of his contract. They want to make the playoffs. So I think it's going to be tough for him to find minutes early on.
You know, Chase, in listening to your answer, and I apologize if this is a dumb question, but, you know, if the EuroLeague is such a great approximation of the NBA, then there have to have been guys who stepped up in the void left by Luka Doncic that are putting up numbers in the EuroLeague. Why aren't those guys the prospects that NBA teams are looking at?
Well, Avdija, of course, is very young, and he's been a guy who's been on the rise in the European basketball ranks for many years. You know, he's been on the Wizards' radar since he was 16. So I think it's about age and what people are projecting that he can be. I mean, when you're that age and you haven't accomplished much in basketball, whether it be in college or you know, other professional leagues around the world, oftentimes it's about athleticism, it's about makeup. And there's no question that there's potential there. I mean, when you watch him, you know, he's not a great shooter. He's young. He's playing against men in the EuroLeague. But there's some pretty obvious skills there. He's 6'9". He's very, very fast in transition. He's a really good passer. I think he's a good ball handler. He's the type of guy who could be a point forward, you know, not unlike a Hedo Turkoglu was, or, you know, maybe a Danilo Gallinari is now. So I think he's going to be a very well-rounded player if developed correctly. But honestly, a lot is going to hinge on him developing an outside shot. If you're going to play at the three position in the NBA, you got to be able to make outside shots. And it's not just the three-point shot. The free throw percentage is definitely concerning because, you know, it's 15 feet away from the rim. There are differences in the games between college, the NBA, and European leagues. But the one thing that stays the same is that free throw line and the distance. And if you're shooting 55%, you know, that's on the level of Shaq or Ben Simmons, the type of low percentage that, you know, late in a close game, teams might just send you the line because they know you can't make them, and that's their best chance of coming back or winning a game. So and you want to avoid a hack a Denny scenario or whatever you would call it. So that's certainly concerning, but the Wizards feel confident in his mechanics that he can actually become a pretty good shooter long term.
You know, it's kind of incredible the seeming disconnect between national media and local media. Now, granted, national media doesn't have to follow the ins and outs of the Wizards, so they can just say what they say and just move on. But I was watching a national show this morning that was calling him a, quote, potential queen on the chessboard. You know, we were made a draft winner by Jonathan Givony, just based on taking not only Avdija, but also Cassius Winston. So it's just interesting to see that wide a chasm between local and national.
Well, absolutely. And I noticed that, too. And both of those guys, Mike Schmidt, who made the queen on the chessboard comment, and Jonathan Givony, they're really, really good at what they do. And they watch these guys from when they're 14, 15 years old on up. But I always wonder, how much do they actually watch of the NBA? Because they watch so much basketball. Do they have time to even watch the NBA? And when they watch the NBA, how often are they watching the Wizards? Because I read some of those evaluations, and it was like, yeah, he's got a pass to minutes early on with the Wizards. And I'm thinking, I don't know about that. This guy wasn't that great in the EuroLeague. And also, it doesn't seem like they're picking up on the dynamic that is Scott Brooks and how he hasn't shown trust in young players. So I would guess that their base of knowledge of the Wizards isn't all that great. And when it comes to these draft prospects, they know every single thing about them until they get drafted. And then they probably just move on to the next class and not actually evaluate how these guys fit in the situations and where they projected them. So a lot of that stuff did not make sense to me, but nothing to take away from those guys because they're absolutely brilliant at what they do. And particularly Mike Schmidt, some of the work he's done, you know, with film breakdowns with these players, is some of the best stuff I've seen in the pre-draft process.
Well, let's go to the other side of the draft, and that's Cassius Winston, who the Wizards picked up late in the first round in that trade with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, let me say, I love guys that have been productive in college. I love production over potential. I'm big on that. He played with Tom Izzo at Michigan State, and they've been known to churn out at least tough-minded and gritty players. And personally, he gave me the joy of taunting Duke when they were bounced out of the 2019 Final Four right here at Capital One Arena. So I want to see Cassius Winston make it. At the same token, at no point in watching him at Michigan State did I say that is NBA-level athleticism, and he's going to be joining a backcourt that has John Wall and Bradley Beal in it.
The athleticism is probably going to limit his long-term upside, but I don't think they're betting on this guy to be an all-star. They're looking at the total package and the where they got him, which is the 53rd pick in the draft, which is almost the very end of the second round, and they think that that's the perfect profile for a backup point guard. And you've seen it over the years. You know, Shelvin Mack was an upperclassman. He became a really good backup point guard. Monte Morris, I think he played at Iowa State. He's been a really good backup point guard in Denver. If you get a guy who has played and won a lot of games in college, who can run an offense, who can play defense, who's a smart player, who can shoot like Cassius Winston, he's a 43% career three-point shooter in college across 4 years, obviously well-coached by Tom Izzo. That's the type of guy that's probably going to be able to carve out a pretty long career as a backup point guard. And he's probably going to be a plug-and-play guy, and that's important for the Wizards because they need three point guards going into the season. Usually teams have three point guards, but when you got a guy like John Wall who's coming back from the injury that he's coming back from, and we already know he's going to be limited in back-to-backs, not playing a full season of games, when he doesn't play in those back-to-backs, you're going to need a third point guard to step into that second point guard role behind Ish Smith. I think Cassius Winston has a very good chance of providing an instant impact. As much as Denny Avdia is a long-term play, I think Winston is very much about the short term. Let's get this guy in on a cheap contract because it's a second-round pick. And, you know, the expectations are probably pretty sound and safe that he's going to be able to, you know, fill that role behind John Wall.
Now, let's talk about this trade market right now, which has been unbelievable. And, you know, Bradley Beal has really endeared himself to this city. He's endeared himself to me personally with his work, speaking out for social justice and advocating for voting. I think he's a fantastic citizen here in Washington, D.C. Chase, if Drew Holiday went for three first round picks, okay, what could Bradley Beal possibly go for? I'm sounding like LeBron, not three, not four, not five, not six. I mean, honestly, like, you know, his value is only as good as what you're being offered. If Drew Holiday is worth three first-round picks, how do you not if you're Tommy Shepard?
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
At least go down that road.
Well, Drew Holiday, that's one trade you could cite. Another would be Paul George last year. That's about as good of a haul as I've ever seen for a player who's, you know, obviously Anthony Davis got you a lot. And Paul George is a really good player, but what the Thunder got for him was unbelievable. I mean, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who I think is going to make multiple All-Star teams in the future. Danilo Gallinari, who's a 20-point scorer. You know, he was on the expiring deal. But they also got five first-round picks, like pick swaps. And, I mean, so many that you can't even count them. And they're so far in the future that you're like, man, if L.A., the Clippers, if they bought him out, and then I say Houston because Sam Presti and OKC also got all their first-round picks in a trade. It really makes you think, like, could it come to a point where there's a godfather offer for the Wizards that they can't refuse? But, you know, teams are trying. You know, we learned just recently that the Sixers checked in on Bradley Beal and were rebuffed. So Tommy Shepard is saying this publicly, and he's telling teams privately that Bradley Beal's not going anywhere. And you've seen, I think, a change in his messaging recently that I think is important to pick up on. And that is that he's saying they're building around Bradley Beal, that this is Bradley Beal's team. And that there's some subtlety there. That means that, you know, they're not necessarily building around John Wall like they used to. And it's not necessarily John Wall's team like it used to be. And my colleague Chris Miller has reported on this, how John was, you know, a little bit surprised by that, but he did understand what he meant. And, of course, it makes sense. He looks at Bradley Beal as an all-star, in his mind, an all-NBA player, and certainly the numbers could back that up. You could make a case for it. And those guys are really, really hard to find. So as much uncertainty as there is with John Wall, he wants to maintain as much certainty as possible about Bradley Beal's future and make sure that they can keep this guy happy and keep him here and build a team around him rather than trade him to some other team and try to start over with whatever they can get back.
I heard Tommy Shepard call Bradley Beal a partner in that podcast interview he did with Zach Lowe, which I don't know if I've heard a GM refer to a player that way. But, you know, the question that was pushed back at Tommy was exactly what is the in what context do you consider this season a success? Because you're looking at an East that is a lot stronger than it has been in the past, and certainly a lot stronger than people are giving it credit for. And all the moves aren't done. We still don't know exactly what Brooklyn is going to do. Obviously, we know Philly's always trying to do stuff. Boston's been quiet. We know they're not probably going to stay quiet. Miami's been quiet. The East is actually looking pretty formidable, at least as formidable as it has in a number of years. So what exactly is the upside for this team right now?
Well, I think the expectations, if I were to set them right now, before we know what happens to free agency and trades, is that as long as they get in the playoffs, I think that would be a successful season. You know, an 8 seed, maybe you could argue that's a little disappointing. But I think if they get in that 5-7 range, then that's a successful season. Anything more than that, I think, would be surprising and would exceed expectations. And they're pretty much going to have to get there for things to continue on this course because you have Scott Brooks in a contract year. You wonder about Bradley Beal's patience, and, of course, you're evaluating that investment in John Wall in the future there. So I think they have to make the playoffs to keep this on the current trajectory and, you know, avoid going into a rebuild where Bradley Beal, you know, maybe wants out, maybe his patience runs out. As far as the Eastern Conference, I feel like people say this a lot. The East is getting better. Look at the top. It's getting better. But really, it's been the inferior conference ever since Michael Jordan retired from the Chicago Bulls for the second time. You know, as soon as he left the Bulls, the West has dominated the East ever since. And honestly, I think it's set up to dominate for at least another 10 to 15 years.
Wow. Really? Even if Giannis stays in the East and KD comes back healthy?
Yeah, they got them, but what about Ja Morant, Zion Williamson, the Suns? Like, all the teams on the rise, all the best young teams are in the West. Like, if the Memphis Grizzlies were in the East, they'd be a 5 seed. Like, Luka Doncic is in the West. This year, the number one and number two picks went to the Western Conference teams. DeAndre Ayton went to the Western Conference. Like, they keep getting number one picks. Like, the Warriors just got the second overall pick, and the Timberwolves, who didn't need the number one pick, they already have Karl Anthony Towns, got the number one pick. Like, LeBron went west. Kawhi went west. Like, the foreseeable future is the West is going to dominate the league. You know, you look at the Nuggets, they're a young team that's really, really good. The Lakers, their window's open. We'll see about the Warriors, of course, with Klay Thompson getting hurt. But there's some really, really good teams over there. I think even if, like, James Harden comes east, it's not going to balance out the league. And you've got some talent at the top, and I think the Sixers with Daryl Morey are going to get really interesting. And, of course, you got Boston and Toronto. But after that, like the 5th seed, it really drops off a cliff. I mean, you look at the teams that made the playoffs last year. The Brooklyn Nets went to the bubble with basically a brand-new roster because everyone either opted out or got COVID. And they made the playoffs with a losing record. The Orlando Magic got in the playoffs with a losing record. It's pretty much a perennial case where you can get into the playoffs with a losing record, be like 5 games under .500 in the East. In the West, if you win 45 to 50 games, you might be the 7th or 8th seed. And if you get to the second round, you're probably playing a team that won 60 games. And it's been that way for decades. And like I said, I think it's going to be that way for a long time.
All right, Chase, what is your social media handle for friends and family members of Trae Young and LaMelo Ball? They can get at you.
You can hit me up at Chase Hughes NBCS on Twitter.
All right, man. As always, I have a ton of other things I want to talk to you about, but you fill it up as always, man. Thank you.
Absolutely, man. Anytime.
All right, that was Chase Young. Make sure you follow him on social and follow him on NBC Sports Washington. He gave us a lot to ponder. I want to know what's on your mind. 800-636-1067. I'm Reese Waters, 106.7 The Fan. I said, look, I don't know about just for men. I feel like that's Beijing. I know Beijing when I see it. The other thing I want you guys to weigh in on, I'm thinking about joining Parler. That seems to be the cool thing. All the cool kids are joining Parler. And I don't want to join Parler and talk about politics. Like, I just want to join Parler and just talk about regular stuff. I just want to see how it is. Like, I want to go on Parler as myself, just as my own face, and just be like, hey, did y'all watch the new Fresh Prince? Like, I just want to see how I'm received on Parler. I didn't think it was going to be a big deal, but most of my friends and family have been very strongly advocating against me doing that. Mullins, are you on Parler?
I am not, no.
Do you know anybody on Parler?
I do not know anybody on Parler. I know it's spelled stupidly, so that just in general, that's not something that I, you know, it doesn't bode well for them.
Gotcha. Yeah, I just want to get on and just have regular conversation. I want to talk about the Saved by the Bell reboot on Parler and see how I'm received. That was Chase Hughes, who gave you a lot to feel hopeful about if you're a Washington Wizards fan. I do wonder, though, man. Look, it's one thing to say that the East is not the West. We could have that conversation. But the East is not at the Wizards level either. I mean, who are the Wizards better than in the East is the question that I would ask. So, you know, I definitely think trying to get into that 5-7 range certainly is a goal to go into the season with. But let me see. You got Milwaukee. You got Miami. You got Brooklyn. You got Boston. You got Philly. That's five right there. I don't see him cracking that five. But then I paused after that. So maybe they could get in, you know, they probably could get in right after that. Let me know what you guys think. I found it interesting that 800-636-1067. I found it interesting that Denny Avdija was listed as having a high basketball IQ and versatility. That's what you say when somebody can't play. That's how they used to describe me back in the day. When I used to go play pickup basketball at St. Albans and nobody wanted me, I would tell them I had a high basketball IQ and versatility, which basically meant you could put me anywhere on the floor and I will have a high basketball IQ. That's not shooting. That's not passing. That's not dribbling. That's not defense. That's not rebounding. Nah, I'm just going to sit here and have a high basketball IQ. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit here and I'll thank y'all. In my brain, I'm dominating right now. That's all I could say. I did appreciate that he learned English watching TV and playing Call of Duty. So I'm sure he knows all the slurs. I'm sure he knows all the cuss words from watching Call of Duty. So he'll fit right in on an NBA floor with a Call of Duty vocabulary. That works well. There's also an article about his popularity. That was one of the things I didn't get a chance to ask Chase, but he did have an article talking about how Denny Avdija will expand the Wizards' popularity around the globe. And he referenced how last summer when Rui Hachimura was drafted out of Japan, the highest drafted player ever out of Japan, as Denny was the highest drafted player out of Israel. But he said the Wizards' business arm was flooded with international partnership opportunities as companies from around the world saw potential with Rui and the Wizards. And the same effect could be seen in the coming days after the Wizards selected Denny Avdija. And hopefully that is the case. But, of course, I'm still holding out hope that they made that draft for basketball reasons. I did reference that we were selected as a winner by some of the draft Knicks. Jonathan Givony actually wrote that Denny was considered a strong candidate to hear his name called in the top five, him falling all the way to the end of the top 10 was a bit of a surprise. Part of that was by design, as Avdija's camp was highly selective in electing where to send medical info, which, by the way, is incredible that we are one of the organizations they considered stable enough to send medical info, because certainly that would not have been the case in years gone by. So shout out to the Wizards there. They said they favor good development situations where he could find immediate playing time in a strong organization. Avdija should find everything he was looking for in Washington. There's playing time to be had and opportunities to develop his playmaking and shooting ability and one of the NBA's most up-tempo offense. And that is as positive a report as I've heard on the Washington Wizards in quite some time. So we can all feel good about that. I can also feel good that the draft is over and I no longer have to have people's baby photos forced down my throat. I was not feeling that. However, the virtual draft did allow me to look into people's houses. I am a fan of whenever I can be nosy on the low. If I can just watch the draft and feel like I'm doing something manly watching the draft, but really I'm in here judging people's couches, that's what I'm about. You know, I want to see what's going on. When am I ever able to look into an NBA player's home or an NBA player's family home and feel like I have better furniture? Now, granted, today I probably don't, because now they got, you know, they got NBA checks on the way. So today I probably have way worse furniture. But last night I had better furniture. I had better glasses, better cups. I had better TVs. My whole decor was laid out. I watched the draft to feel better about me. And you know what? I do. We'll see if that lasts until this Sunday. Last Sunday, y'all try to get on me about some tweets I sent about the Washington football team. Yeah, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it. Y'all thought y'all got away with coming for me because Alex Smith got hot in the second half. We're going to talk about it as soon as I get back. You guys can weigh in 800-636-1067. You're not getting away with that. Reese Waters, 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. I am Reese Waters. Thank you guys for rocking with me up until this point. Got my man Mullins on the ones and twos. Brock making sure nothing goes off the rails. Right now, we're going to go to the AAA Always On Call listener line. Ask and I shall receive. I appreciate whenever I throw that out, you guys come back and bless me. I'm going to go to my man Kevin in Germantown. Kevin, what's going on, my friend?
Hey, how you doing, man? Hey, you've had me on the floor, dude. Hey, ever since you came on, man, you are just rocking it. Just keep it going, man. That's all I'm calling in to say.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate that. Thanks for rocking with me.
All right, brother. All right. Have a great day.
All right. Wait, man, before you go, you wouldn't happen to be on Parler, would you?
Man, come on, man. Come on, man. I'm a Biden supporter, man.
Fair enough.
All right. Have a great day, brother.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate the love. Shout out to Kevin. Also, Todd Dixon sent me this on Twitter. It's an ad for Parler. It says, looking for a fun, relaxing echo chamber. Tired of being expected to respect differences of opinion? Has someone unfairly used facts against you online? Did someone challenge your YouTube video? That's my favorite. Need a safe space? Now you don't have to let anyone treat you the way you treated them. We offer a social app environment where you can hear your own soothing voice and opinions spoken right back to you all day long. Don't worry, Parler isn't for everybody, if you know what we mean. So you're free to be comfortable while being intolerant and wildly irrational. Conspiracy theories and baseless accusations, come on in, you're home. Thank you for that, Todd. I appreciate that. I gotta push that back out. Now, you guys like me turned on last week's Washington football team game against the Detroit Lions, and you watched them fall behind 24-3. You saw it, right? We all saw it. Okay. At halftime, when it was 17-3, I hadn't posted a lot up to that point. But at halftime, it was 17-3. I posted a meme, and I said, so you're telling me Ron Rivera benched Dwayne Haskins, so Alex Smith could score 3 points at halftime, which was correct because Alex Smith and his offense scored 3 points at halftime. Now, what I didn't anticipate was that Matt Patricia was going to go Matt Patricia, change his defensive alignment, and let Washington go up and down the field. Now, Alex Smith and Antonio Gibson and Terry McLaurin and all of the players who lined up for the Washington football team deserve credit for getting back into that game. Alex Smith went 38 for 55 for 390 yards. Didn't have a touchdown, didn't have a pick. Terry McLaurin went for 95 yards on 7 catches. Isaiah Wright, 6 catches, 59 yards. Like they did the thing. They did the thing. They got back in the game. They got back in the game and made it competitive and actually almost won the game. That's to be applauded. What's not to be applauded is the amount of you, Washington football team fans, that tried to come for me because of my tweet I sent at halftime. First of all, and everybody, and then they're not just coming for me. They're coming for me after we lost the game. How you look trying to correct something I sent at halftime when you just lost to the Detroit Lions? Come on. Is that what we're doing now? Is that where we are as a fan base? I had to send out a second tweet. I was so upset. I had to send out a second tweet. I said, I'm low-key disgusted at the amount of Washington football fans beating their chests at the stats Alex Smith put up against Matt Patricia's prevent defense and a loss to the Lions by a quarterback who won't be on the team next year. Is this where the bar is? Because everybody wants to bring up, oh, well, if Dwayne Haskins would have did that, you would have been happy with it. Well, a couple things. Number one, Dwayne Haskins did put up stats when we were way behind, and that was said first. When Dwayne Haskins played well when we were getting blown out, the preamble to whatever his stats were is we were getting blown out. That had an asterisk by it because we were getting blown out. That's what happened in that instance. Secondly, the bar is not the same for Alex Smith and Dwayne Haskins. Why? Because if Dwayne Haskins would have played the way Alex Smith played, that's something that we can build on for the future. Oh, look, it looks like he's making reads. It looks like this is something that we can build on, provided he could actually do it in the first half when we're not down by 3 touchdowns. That would be nice. That's not the bar for Alex Smith. The bar for Alex Smith is, quote, trying to make a run at the division. Isn't that what the coach said? Did he put Alex Smith in there to try and make a run for the division, or did he put Alex Smith in there so we could be competitive against the Lions? Is that why he put him in there? So we could almost beat the Giants? Is that why he put him in there? I thought he put him in there to win a game. So no, the bar is not the same for Alex Smith as it is for Dwayne Haskins. Now, as far as Alex Smith is concerned, this brings up an interesting case. Because all the conversation that was had up until this point was that Alex Smith was going to be gone next year because of his cap hit. Now, I'm hearing people talk about, oh, well, we need to bring Alex back. Which is possible. I'm not poo-pooing the idea. But what I am saying is, you bring Alex back if you feel like you have a team around Alex that you can make a run. If you feel like Alex is the best you can do at the quarterback position, and now is the time to pull the trigger, we're going to push this thing over the edge, fine. That's not the roster that we have. That's definitely not the roster that we have. So I'm not saying that it's an outrageous idea. What I am saying is it doesn't seem to be the point in our progression as a franchise where that is something that we should entertain. Because the reality is, we're losing games just as if Dwayne Haskins would have been in there. At this rate, we will get one of the top draft picks. At this rate, the point that I was making from the very beginning is if we're going to lose games, at least see what we got in the kid. That way, if we move on, we can move on without having to turn back, without having to wonder if. That's the worst. The worst is leaving unexplored potential and opportunities. Explore the potential and opportunities. And in this instance, you actually have the ability to explore the possibilities with a safety net because of the draft pick. At this rate, we might actually get the draft pick, which is a good thing. But you haven't explored the possibilities with the guy you got. So you're basically creating a revolving door situation. You guys get at me. 800-636-1067 and not on Twitter. You know what the number is. 800-636-1067. Reach Waters 1067.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.